What's up, y'all? It's the Bank Trapper here.
And Fatima the Banker.
And this is Talking Married Life and Bank Trapping. And so we know we've been gone for a while, and that's because we've been working on improvements. We have a new microphone, so that way we can really make it to where you guys get higher audio quality from us. We didn't like how the previous sound was coming, and we want to make sure that we're consistently improving not only the quality of the way we're doing the podcast, but improving your quality of life with better information to take on all the challenges that are coming our way daily and everything, how everything is changing. And we've been rearranging and putting together even better pieces for a foundation. And that's one of the things we've been working on.
Like Bank Trapper said, like definitely having that time away has given us the opportunity to be able to create things and think of new ways to better engage and better service you all as our supporters and listeners, and getting, you know, more training and more implementing and things like that so that we can come to you all better prepared, because I know that it is very important for people to see the inside of what it looks like to build as a family unit, as well as being married and being able to be on the same page with your partner when it comes to everything, finance and things like that. I mean, still having your differences, but really being able to still build together and understand the bigger picture and have the same goals and things like that.
As well as we got a special guest, which is the other third leg of our business. And, you know, we always make sure that we're speaking in ways that speak to the people and speak our language. So I promise she's not going to use her white girl voice when she's talking to y'all. And let me introduce the greatest asset to the team, our wonderful.
Hello, everybody. My name is Micah, and I go by Big Bank Micah, and you can follow me on Instagram at _BigBankMicah. I'm very happy to be on this episode of Married Life and Bank Trapping, because we have been planning for me to come on one of these episodes, and because it is a new season for all of us as we're transitioning, it's also like a new season of the podcast as well. And because we're talking about foundation, it's great to see us all together, and we target families, and having us all together is really just a new start of the podcast and really seeing, okay, so they are working as a family. So I'm just happy to be here.
Sorry about the coughing, y'all. I was drinking some water and almost killed myself. Mm-hmm. But so some of y'all may not be 100% familiar exactly with who we are and what our mission is. And so we're going to talk about that, because you have to have a mission. And I know that me coming up, I was never in the streets because I thought the shit was cool. I was in the streets because I had a mission, and the mission was to improve my pockets as much as I could by dang near any means necessary. And so that transitions over into this world. You know, you need to have a mission to know why you're doing what you're doing. And then when you want to get funding, grants and shit like that, you need to actually have a written mission, and it needs to be visible, you know, not just some words that you have in your head that sound good, you know, something that's really thought out and battle tested. And so, you know, for us, we are a family that banks, and we don't bank in the commercial sense of the way, you know, we're 100% decentralized, sovereign banking.
What is decentralized?
Decentralized is, so centralization is, you know, government oversight, SEC, all them things, all the controls and everything. And decentralization is independence. And it's not ran and controlled by, you know, the governments in the same way, you know, as these banking cartels are ran. And so we utilize, you know, insurance reserves, crypto, you know, and different things like that. And obviously, you know, in this world, you know, you still need the banks for some things, but we don't allow them to warehouse our money. We do that, and then we help provide liquidity to our communities. And so we have a formula that we go by just on the allocation amount for building a foundation. And so we're going to be talking about that. But before we get into the formula, anything y'all want to add?
Yeah. So with the mission, I see each person has their own mission. Like, of course, there's that combined mission for your family business and things like that. But before you go on the path of doing those things, you have a mission before you get to that point. And so that's how Bank Trapper explained what his mission was. And so before coming into the financial world, my mission was to live every day because I was a single mom. I was literally on my own, barely had any support. And so every day that I lived, I was living, my mission was to make sure that I could live and make sure that keeping my child safe and things like that. So now moving on to learning what we're doing now, it gave me a sense of hope and feeling like, okay, there is such thing as being secure and also being able to have privacy and be able to make choices and things like that and actually help people, because one of my things that I have always wanted to do was to help people, but I didn't know how to do that. So now being in the world of finance, and not even really just finance, just really being able to help other families learn from the things that we had to learn and grow through. And now that's my mission, is being able to allow for people to see what we went through, to help them go through those things, and to also help them be successful and succeed in the things that they're that they envision their family and themselves in.
And lastly, I wanted to bring in how Fatima said, you always have the mission that you have before. And like Fatima and Elijah, I wanted to help people, but what I wanted most of all as well is to be remembered. But I wanted to, the way that I helped people, I wanted people to remember me for that. And one of the things that had always frightened me and I hated to talk about was like death. And what kind of made me feel a little bit more better about death is if at least when I did live, people would remember me and they remembered me for the great things that I did. And one of the things that we are doing is, you know, we're trying to take back our bloodline and correct the miseducation. And a lot of the times that we do say that we want to bring back honest banking back to the hood. And pretty much what that is when you're thinking about the candy lady that came through on the block and everybody went to the candy lady, or you're thinking about the old men playing chess on the block and say, hey, young blood, whatever, we're those people, but we're helping you with your finances. So when you're remembering the candy lady or you're remembering the old men on the block, that's going to be us pretty much. But in a way, like Bank Trapper said, decentralized. We're going to be helping the hood. We're the candy lady. We are the old men or whoever you went to in your hood that is bringing back this honest banking and bringing a new name, something new to our community.
So to go a little deeper into that, because what we're talking about is mindset, and you have to have a certain mindset, but also more of what that looks like is, a lot of us know, like, especially me, a lot of people know me for crypto and different things like that. But I approach everything with the mindset of a banker. And that is what we are doing, is that we're teaching our community how to be the bank and to play the long game, as well as not just the long game, but to want control and authority. Because control is more important than ownership. And authority is what allows us to have the ability to maintain control, and what causes the enemy to think twice about trying to to take away and use us in ways that we don't deem fit for our communities. And so if you don't have the proper mindset though, when shit gets tough, you're going to give up. And if you don't give up, you're going to make mistakes that you didn't need to make. And so, you know, using personal examples, I was always pretty good with finances and I read a lot. And so for me, I never had to worry about bad credit until there was events that took place that I wasn't prepared for. And so when I built my credit up, you know, I read, I learned, I understood about credit. And so I would leverage credit to get more things as well as, you know, I had the SAC. And so not only did I have a lot of illegal money that I didn't have to pay taxes on, but I figured out how to run it through companies and be able to get me a lot of stuff. And I didn't respect having reserves. I didn't respect truly buying genuine assets. I didn't, you know, like the things that really are important when that storm comes, I wasn't ready to handle. And so after getting my head knocked off on, you know, different things through the pandemic when it first hit us, going to prison and different things like that and getting out with nothing, it caused me to look at, you know, how do I create a situation to where I never have to worry about having nothing if a storm and when a storm does come, because they come. And not only not having nothing, because, you know, that's the main thing a lot of us don't understand when we think about investing. We're thinking about our returns all the time, but we don't think about the fact of the very first thing we're trying to do here is capital preservation. And what that means is that making sure you have some fucking money to be able to do some shit while everybody else ain't got no money. And so this goes down into the formula. And so it's 50% of all income that's your cash flow after you done used everything you needed to for your expenses goes to an insurance reserve. 20% goes to reserve-based cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, Ethereum, the ones that are deflationary and have a finite either deflationary or have some kind of moneyness to them that allows them to be a reserve style type of currency. Another 20% will go to be toward dividend paying stocks. And then you'll have 5% that goes to gold and silver and 5% that goes to bullets and books. And so I'll explain each more in depth on some of these, but you know, do you want to y'all, before I get into that, and when y'all want to say anything about, you know, understanding these numbers or different things that go into being able to use these numbers correctly, any experiences or anything?
As far as like the experiences for me, while going through our money management, which is one of the key pieces of the foundation, is making sure that while you are calculating your percentages, making sure that you have accurate numbers on every dollar you spend. Because if you do not track every single dollar that you spend and where it's going, then you will not have accurate numbers. It will leave you in a state of confusion and unorganization. And that leads to frustration. And then that's one of the big things that can lead you to, or if you're building as a family, that can lead y'all astray, but also it'll cause a lot of chaos within the home.
And I was pretty much going to say some of the same things that Fatima said, but really the numbers just provide clarity. And really writing it down and building out your own graphs and just seeing what it looks like helps a lot, instead of just keeping it all in your head and like, okay, I got it in my head, this is what I'm gonna do. Actually seeing it is just like, okay, this is what it looks like and this is what I'm looking towards. So it just provides clarity on what you're working towards, what you have, what you're making room for, what maybe you don't have room for at the moment. So it's just that visual providing clarity for you.
right. So that first big number, right? That first big one was insurance reserves, right? And so one of the things that I learned, and I never really fully respected until over the last, you know, couple years, and even that's grown, you know, exponentially even more so in the last few months, is that cash is a position. And I've heard that a few different times, but I could just never really wrap my mind around how cash is a position, because the way I was brought up was you go all in on the pack. And the position was the product. You would get as much product as you could to get as much cash as you could, and then you would go cash back out and get more product. And so the reason why it's insurance reserves is because of this fractional reserve based lending bullshit, this blow up dope we got going on, and inflation, you can't keep cash in a bank account, but you can keep cash inside of your insurance reserves, which gives you a guaranteed rate of return as well as an average rate of return. And usually your average rate of return does much more protection over what inflation does. And so you not only get to keep the money that you got, you also get to grow that money safely. And you also are having tax advantages using this system. And taxes are one of the main killers of your wealth and your ability to grow. And so that's why so heavy on the insurance reserves, as well as you have access to your cash if you set it up right properly. So if y'all run out there and go fucks with some people who say they know how to do it, and then you realize after you done did it, they're like, you don't get access to your cash for 2 years, and then it's only a fraction of what you put in, you know, don't be mad at me because you wanted to run off on the plug instead of tap in with us. But it's that, as well as, you know, it's the true decentralized form of banking, because even banks don't keep their money inside of banks. They keep their money inside of insurance reserves when they're warehousing their cash for those rainy day situations or situations of leverage. And, you know, there's many uses to having an insurance reserve. Anything y'all want to talk about on insurance reserves?
Just adding on to what Elijah said, just a little bit more detail, and not like too crazy, but the insurance reserves are, believe it or not, for regular people. Even if you're not wanting to purchase assets or fund your business, things like that, if you're not wanting to really just invest, but you just want to make sure you can live through the insurance reserve for your daily needs and expenses and things like that, that's a way that you can use it. Insurance reserves also allow for businesses to utilize the reserve in a way where they're able to fund their things for their business. And at the end of the day, your money never goes anywhere. So whenever your business, if it does, inshallah, it doesn't, if it ever one day to close down, like kind of like when the pandemic hit, a lot of businesses closed. Well, if your business was to fail and you had used your cash reserve to fund your business, well, now that money never went anywhere, but it still has to be paid back, but you don't owe anybody anything for those losses, and you still can write those losses off on taxes, so you still win at the end of the day. So.
And also with the reserves, and just how she said it's for regular people as well, a lot of people just want that comfort of knowing that something is safe and secure and protected. And that's exactly what the insurance reserves does. You're protecting yourself, protecting your business, your assets, your family, whatever it's intended for, it's safe, secure, and protected. So that's one of the things that I wanted to hit on as well. And so I guess just having that peace of mind, knowing that it's safe where you're putting it, because there are a lot of people who are like, well, I don't want to do any risks. Like, I don't want to take any risks. So just that it has that factor of that it's guaranteed that guaranteed safety and that guaranteed generational wealth is a big part of it as well.
And then, so, you know, the final piece I was going to talk about is, you know, well, why 50%? Why not 20? Why not 100? You know, things like that. Well, for our specific situation, and most situations that I believe this applies to, is you want to have room for some things that are aggressive growth, as well as things that are still low risk assets while giving you aggressive growth. And this is more of your workhorse when it comes to your foundation. It doesn't move very fast, but it's reliable, steady, and it's going to do what it needs to do. And it's going to get you some large gains. And as well as the fact that you don't ever have to worry about, if we go through a depression, you'll be one of the few people that are at least still getting some form of yield on your returns, or on your money. And then it's allowing you to understand that there's many ways to bank, and this isn't the only asset that you can leverage, because a lot of people think, you know, you buy something and then you sell it at a higher price. Well, a lot of assets in general, you really rarely want to sell. You want to use the power of leverage to continue to grow more assets and have an increased level of cash flow. And there is a time and place to sell, but oftentimes we sell and then we create a tax event. And that's one of the things you want to avoid, is, you know, creating a tax event, because regardless of what your feelings may be, if you just look at history and look at what governments do and what they're really set up to do and what the government is doing right now, is they really just want to steal from you. That's all it is. They want to steal from you. Taxes is thievery. We didn't even have taxes in this country until very, very recently. Majority of the inception of this country, taxes were not a thing. And then, so now getting into that 20% number, and the 20% for the crypto reserves. Well, crypto reserves offer a lot of aggressive growth, as well as we're getting into a new money system, right? And there is a very, very high likelihood that we will be a cashless society sooner than later. And China, they've already rolled out a digital yuan, as well as Brazil has released a CBDC, as well as they're already testing out CBDCs at MIT, I believe it is. And so what a CBDC is a central bank digital currency. And these are not cryptos, because these are powered by AI, which is terrifying. We won't go into that today on why AI is terrifying for a digital currency. But, you know, that's also some research to look into until we do about it in a further episode. And so cryptocurrencies are protected by cryptography. And it's hard to say which one's going to be the winner. None of these may be the winner, but one thing that is fairly easy to say is that, you know, cash is going to be a thing of the past. And we need to understand what makes something a currency in the first place. And, you know, understanding that currency means to run consistently, the root word being cur, which is to run. And so these are mediums of exchange. Same way that when we're dealing with each other and, you know, you get the junkie to go and steal you a whole bunch of Louis and Fendi and all that bullshit, and you just give them a little few stones, you trading bullshit for bullshit. You know, this is kind of something like that, but at least this time you're actually having an asset and something that has some real value to it. And then, well, I guess before I get into the next 20%, anybody else want to say something on that? Yeah.
as far as a cryptocurrency, I think it is very important that it's something that we're talking about, because a lot of people look at crypto as something like maybe like stocks. Like, I'm not into it, so I'm just, you know, gonna put it to the side. And when he's saying that cash is going to be the thing of the past, now there's gonna be crypto. Crypto is like literally not one of those things right now that you can say, well, I'm not into it, I'm gonna just put it to the side, because it's already very prominent, but then it's going to be extremely prominent. Like, that's going to be our medium of exchange. So it's a very important conversation to have about crypto, because a lot of people there are a lot of people who just look at it as like, I'm not really into it, so I'm not gonna learn about it. And they're not realizing like, oh, we are already moving in a way like where we, you know, have our credit cards, that's already digital. So now there's crypto being in the picture, and that is going to be the bigger picture. So it really is important to have that conversation like, hey, look, it's not, you can't ignore this anymore. Like, this is the it now. This is where all the rich are moving towards. Like, pretty soon, what is it going to be called? The Fed coin. They're going to be getting into that as well. So it's a very important conversation. I even think about that one time when Fatima said she was like looking at the homeless, and she was like, dang, so when cryptocurrency is going to be one of the main mediums of exchange, like, what are they going to do? They can't be out begging for cash, because that it ain't going to mean anything. So it's really not something that you can just look at and be like, well, I'm not interested in it, so I'm not going to get into it.
Yeah, and then that's like really, 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 really big. And then where the I'm not into it comes from also is people to understand that that's emotion-based thinking, because when they're thinking that and saying that, they're also saying it based out of fear of change and fear of what's actually coming, and blocking their minds from actually seeing the things that are changing around them because they don't want to see it. They don't want to recognize and actually say, okay, yeah, this is actually happening. And it kind of made me think about the other day when me and Elijah were bank trapper, Elijah, when we were listening to a few things about what's going on in the crypto world with helium and things like that. Like, there's so much going on with tech that it's like, if you really are not allowing for yourself to see these things, you're gonna set your family so far behind that it's gonna be hard for y'all to catch up, especially with all these wealth transfers happening in front of your eyes, but you're so afraid to change your mindset to actually see what the basic things are, to have at least a foundation. Even if you're not like, oh, let me get into here, let me know everything I need to, you know, need to and don't need to know. Like, you don't have to know everything about crypto or the blockchain or anything like that. Just understanding that there's a change, there's a shift happening. What are the basic things that you need to know for your family and where we're going? Because that's very, 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 very important for knowing how to build your foundation and knowing how to pivot for your family.
And then so getting to that 20% on dividend paying stocks. And so not all dividend paying stocks are created equal. And so when it comes to the circumstances that we're in right now with inflation murking everybody, I'm gonna throw y'all a freebie and give y'all inflation hedges that pay dividends. And it's a REIT, real estate investment trust, keyword trust. If you don't know what a trust is, you know, go to Investopedia and look up trust. It's something that everybody should at least know about, if not getting to a position where they're starting to use one or already have one going. And so real estate investment trusts are required to pay out 80% of their profits to the shareholders, as well as everything that they're purchasing is real estate, hard assets. And, you know, for some people who think real estate means like it's real, That's not what the fuck it means. It means royal estate. And so we ain't gonna dive too deep into what royal estate is and things like that, but you know, understanding the words, where these things come from and how this world really works actually does matter and helps you get down into them deeper levels. But you know, another one for you to go and research on and look up, you know, why is real estate royal estate? And so when you use these dividend paying stocks, you'll be like, well, okay, well, you know, what does this have to do with banking though? Well, you don't have to sell your stocks in order to get fucking money from them. You can leverage and borrow against your portfolio. And that's what a lot of y'all don't know. And that's what a lot of y'all ain't paying attention to, is the fact that Elon Musk is able to keep funding so much of his companies because he borrows against his own shares of Tesla. Now, mind you, he created the company. Other people bought products and bought things and bought into the company. And now all of that money that he created from his mind, which is the ultimate leverage, is your mind. The ultimate, the most important piece of real estate is your mind, is realizing that now you can borrow against these things. And as well as, you know, business creation is the greatest form of wealth creation. And if you haven't created a business quite yet, which, you know, all of these things are a business, you just have to start thinking like a business. But if you haven't, you know, got to that point yet, realize though that you're partnering with another business. And so you might not be able to directly work with Elon Musk, but through purchase of his shares, it's like having Elon Musk work for you in a way. Also, I'm not saying go out and buy Tesla either. I'm saying do your own research and look into these different things and see, you know, what you're paying for. Cause for me, you know, a lot of, I do buy some, you know, dividend aristocrats, but I usually don't, go that route. I usually look for value in things that are still paying dividend and which ones are have a high likelihood of becoming aristocrats because I want a high yield. And so again, you know, you're probably asking, you know, why that 20%, but I guess actually before I get into that, anybody want to say anything on, you know, the stocks?
No, that's more of your round.
And so why the 20%? Well, again, we're talking about risk here. And the main thing is preservation of capital. And stocks and crypto are not guaranteed. Whereas insurance reserves are. So that's why it's such a large number in insurance reserves. But when you're talking about dividends, just like how you can also receive, you know, crypto back. That's our dog over there daydreaming, if you can hear him over there barking. Is that you can stake and earn crypto back, as well as you can earn off of your putting your money to work. And this is the ultimate form of leverage, because if you use DRIP, which is dividend reinvestment program, on your stocks, they'll purchase more shares of themselves. So, you know, a little tip I'll give you too when you're looking for REITs is I like to see how much of this company do I need to buy in order for it to buy one share of itself. And so every time it pays out, it adds another share to itself, and that continues to compound. And so now we're going to get into the gold and silver. And why is this number so low? Well, 5%. And the reason for that number is because it actually costs you money to warehouse gold. As well as you can actually participate in gold through cryptocurrencies or through stocks. And so, you know, we participate in gold in both ways, as well as in both those other ways, as well as actually holding on to physical gold. But there comes to a point to where, you know, once you buy so much gold, it's going to cost you a lot of money to warehouse this gold. And if it's not gaining you interest while you're holding it, you're actually losing money by holding it. Now you have to hope that, you know, shit goes sideways and that you receive a return. But at the end of the day, if you're hoping shit goes sideways, you know, just to get a return here, how much does that hurt everybody else? And so actual holding on to physical gold and silver is useful, but it's more of a Hail Mary kind of play, you know. And also too, if you buy gold coins that are prior to 1933, under the law, they have to, if that hasn't changed yet. Last time I had looked, under the law, they still have to accept that as a legal tender. And so when you're going to the store in the supermarket and, you know, all you doomsday preppers that are expecting a zombie apocalypse, well, that's not really going to be the problem, more than likely. What's really going to be the problem is there's not going to be a shortage of food. It's just that ain't nobody going to have enough money to buy a fucking loaf of bread. And that's because they're going to be holding on to these negotiable instruments, this cash, this stuff that they haven't learned how to turn into an asset. And now they don't have the means that they'll be able to pull up, just like in Germany. This literally happened. You can look at it. A wheelbarrow full of German money couldn't buy a loaf of bread. And that's going to be the situation here. They're going to devalue the cash so much that you have no choice but to want to get on to their Fed coin, their CBDCs. And so that's why that number is lower, because of the other ways you can participate and receive gains from gold, as well as the fact that it costs you to house and warehouse that actual gold. And, you know, unless you're a big dog or have some loopholes, you know, anytime you actually purchase physical gold and silver, you have to pay a premium. So whatever the spot price is, you got to pay more than that. So you have to have another increased return on top of all of that in order to actually see it. But it's a key toward capital preservation. Anybody got anything they want to say on gold and silver?
Gold and silver, you pretty much summed it up. So,
Man, with the gold and silver, just looking at it as another way of leverage and protection, because you want to make sure that because all of the pieces to this formula is pretty much gives you different ways to leverage. And if something were to happen, you have a little bit in each, you have something in each of those categories that you can take out and use for whatever the reasoning is to use that.
So just in case that was confusing, even though it shouldn't be, because we're talking about how you can borrow against all of your assets, you can borrow against your gold and silver. So when she says leverage, you can borrow against your physical gold and silver. And then the last one is books and bullets. Wealthy people understand that knowledge is potential, and so they invest in themselves and the most important real estate, which is their mind. And so, you know, you want to acquire books, and books also has its own investment class too when it comes to certain books and different things like that. And then bullets, because if you look at how much bullets have gone up, especially over the last 5-10 years, that's one of the best performing asset classes around. And there's been supply chain shortages for bullets even before the pandemic hit, as well as, you know, the actual ability to protect your life. Stocks ain't gonna protect you from the neighbor who didn't mind what they needed to do, and now the only way they know how to get something is to come and take it from you.
Yep.
And so we're not going to go too long on this, because we're going to be really diving deep into foundation. And our theme right now is going to be foundation for a little bit, because we really think that foundation is being neglected. A lot of people are firing their jobs before foundation has been set. A lot of people are creating and borrowing money to create businesses before they actually have established a foundation to be able to put that business on. And a lot of people just don't, you know, think in ways that help you, you know, last the long term and shift the risk. So, you know, we really want to get into, you know, what it is to have an established foundation, because everybody wants to hear the new what's going to make me rich in 5 minutes, when none of that shit exists, you know, like unless you're going to play and hit the lotto, you know. But good luck there, literally.
And all the taxes.
Yeah, and all the taxes. Don't forget, yeah, once you hit the lotto, they're going to tax the crap out of you too. And so that's what we're going to be on. And I really thank y'all for listening. Leave some comments. Let us know if there's any questions y'all have, anything y'all want us to talk about and related to foundation. And then let us know if there's any improvements that we can make on our sound and quality. You know, so thanks for tapping in for Talking Married Life and Bank Trapping. You know, this is your co-host, the Bank Trapper.
Fatima the Banker, but I kind of wanted to add something in here for everyone that's listening. If you would like to work with us, we are doing consultations where you do not have to start on a course or anything like that, but we would like to sit down with you and see what y'all's foundation look like and maybe see if there's a way that we can help y'all. So if you would like to schedule that consultation, we'll post the link as well, but the website is sovereign-galaxy.com, sovereign, SOVEREIGN -galaxy.com.
Okay, and I just wanted to thank Bank Trapper and Fatima the Banker for having me on this episode of Foundation. This is going to be really great for the listeners and families. And aside of those consultations, we do have our Big Bank Budgeting course on that sovereign-galaxy.com. We will be having our Empire Book Club. We talked about how books are a great investment for just developing the mind. So then we'll even be going through some of our library collection with you all and doing those book clubs. We have our family seminar coming up on October the 2nd. So when you go to our website, you will be able to get on there. It's free seminar. So go on there. You can talk to us, even have your questions ready maybe there when you come to the seminar about foundation and getting into a lot of the things that we're doing. So you're definitely not coming to an empty house. We're ready to give you guys the products and the resources in order to bring your family to the next level.
All right, thank y'all for tapping in. We will see y'all on the next episode.
Peace.